There's an anti-Semitism summit that is taking place in Ottawa, hosted by the Center for Israel and Jewish Affairs and Canada's Jewish Federations. And one of the issues it's going to be looking at is how to engage against anti-Semitism. It's a topic that is not as much in the news as I think it used to be. There's so many competing issues and competing issues also of racial hatred and discrimination, but it has not gone away. In fact, despite comprising less than 1% of the Canadian population, Jews were the targets of 2/3 of religiously motivated hate crimes last year, according to Statistics Canada. So this is a very important issue to tackle. And to talk about it now, we're joined by Shimon Fogel. He is the CEO of the Center for Israel and Jewish Affairs. Hi, Shimon.
Hi, Tasha. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for coming on. So, bring us up to date on the latest, I guess, numbers about anti-Semitism in Canada. I was very surprised to hear that one, but I know that there are others that are equally shocking.
So, the statistics, and they're not ones that we're putting forward. They're ones collected by law enforcement agencies across the country, by Stats Canada and so forth. They tell a story of a wildly disproportionate number of hate-related incidents being directed against the Jewish community in one form or the other. Now, I don't want to put it out of context. I think that we should all take pause and recognize that Canada still remains one of the best places to live in the world if you are part of a minority community or a historically targeted segment of the population. Still, we see Canada keeping pace with a phenomenon that is really global in nature of a dramatic increase in hate directed at a number of different Jews, different groups, and Jews historically have been the subject or the target of a disproportionate number of those hate incidents. So that's why we think that we really have to confront this in a meaningful way. And Tasha, the really important takeaway over here is that while we have to have some very specific concern about the well-being of the Jewish community, we know from all historical precedents that what starts with the Jews never ends with the Jews. So we as a community are also the canary in the coal mine for the health of our society in general and the capacity for people to come together to push back against hate in all of its forms. But it starts with the Jews because that's the group that has been singled out for more hate incidents than anybody else. And as you noted, 2/3 of religiously associated hate crimes are directed against Jews. We are the only group in which expressions of hate as the victims of it has grown where others have somewhat diminished over the last couple of years. And all of this is simply a red flag that means we have to step up and stand up and Jews have to lead that fight.
Do you think today people are more emboldened to hate? Has it become, I won't say acceptable, but people feel that they have, a right to express their opinion, and that opinion sometimes spills over into hatred, and they just don't care.
So I think, Tasha, you're right. It has become much more normalized, things that people would have objected to even 20 years ago today are simply being treated as part of the public conversation. And much of that, I think, is the result of the ubiquitous growth of social media. Because it's anonymous, people don't have to be accountable for it, and they can cloak their hate and give it expression in ways that has no comeback to them. Part of the problem with social media is that people often don't recognize what hate looks like. It sounds a little counterintuitive, but oftentimes people think something is funny when it actually has a very dark underbelly. And social media is a mindless way in which to promote, to incite, to spread, to target. We all know of the horrific stories of individuals, especially young people, who have been targeted and bullied through social media, and as a result have done some pretty tragic things, including taking their own lives. So we know that the potency of social media, and I think that it has given permission as a result of the anonymity that it offers the user to share whatever toxic, vitriolic, nasty hate that they feel like expressing.
Now, you focus a lot on social media in this conference. That's one of the aims of it. But I know you're also focusing on political action. So tell us how you hope to encourage our lawmakers to take a stronger stance and view on this.
Well, I think that governments have a variety of different roles to play in terms of guiding society in the most constructive path possible. And there isn't a contradiction between freedom of expression and responsible exercising of that right. We have always had notions of prohibited speech. The classic example people use is you cannot shout out fire in a movie theater when there's no fire because that just triggers the potential for terrible consequences. Similarly, people don't have an absolute right to give expression to anything that they feel like saying without some kind of accountability or consequence. But for the most part, I'd like to think that Canadians do not have malice in their hearts and have no real intent to cause harm to others. What they do have is perhaps a lack of understanding of what hate looks like online, what they can do about it when they do recognize that it's hate, what resources they can turn to. So in that context, we believe that the government has a central role to play in adopting a social media literacy campaign that gives people the tools, especially our younger demographic, to distinguish between those things that are acceptable, that can be informative, that can be entertaining, that connect people, all of the good dimensions of social media, and separate that out from those things that are dangerous, that incite and radicalize and promote hatred online without any filter. So one of the things that we're calling for in this conference is for the government to undertake a national social media literacy campaign. And for us, we liken it to what was done when the government decided to legalize cannabis use. What they soon realized that there were other dimensions to cannabis use that people really had to be aware of in order to ensure that it was consumed or used in a safe, responsible way. So they undertook a public information campaign. It lasted for 18 months. I think everybody will remember the ads on television, even on social media, in newspapers and the like, which drew attention to the dangers of mixing cannabis product consumption with alcohol, or the difference the way edible cannabis products broke down in the body, and the difference in when one could expect the effects of the cannabis consumption to be used.
Shimon, I hate to interrupt you, but we're going to have to go to break. I think that analogy is very interesting, though, in terms of how we combat hate and turn the positive things that we can do with social media to attention, as opposed to using social media as a force for ill, which it definitely has been, unfortunately, when it comes to anti-Semitism and racism, I would say, in general. I wish you luck with your conference. The conference is taking place in October, and it will be focused called Face It, Fight It, with it being anti-Semitism. Shimon Kofler-Fogel is of the Center for Israel and Jewish Affairs. Thanks so much for your time today.
All the best, Tisha. Thank you.